The limit was about $1,300. It will also refrain from removing passengers once they're already seated, except for security or safety reasons. And a British teenager is in custody now after admitting that he was planning a bomb attack and considered targeting an Elton John concert last September in London on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Powered by WesternJournalism.com for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about price wars amongst competition and five ways you can win. I'll have 10 ways to grow your businesses that only millionaires know. I'll have four things that could be lowering your credit score and four reasons why business owners should be using business credit cards. It's Thursday, April 27th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano from Crown Trophy in Flemington, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, as always, it's time to check the weather. It's currently 68 degrees at 12:06. And today it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 71 with a few thunderstorms later in the evening, a low of 57 tonight. For tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 83 and a low of 57. For Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with intervals of sun throughout the day and a high of 85 with a low of 55. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy and cooler with a high of 67 and a low of 52. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 27.72 to 20,947.37. The NASDAQ is up 12.48 to 6,037.60. S&P 500 is up 2.14 to 2,347.08. Oil is down 8 cents to $53.03 per barrel, and gold is up $7.20 to $1,282.50 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now go listen to the rest of the show at www.hunterdonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome once again to Taking Care of Business, another edition here, which means it's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock and time once again to get together and talk about issues affecting businesses throughout the country and here in Flemington as well. So glad you could join us. Been a busy little week. Had a lot of fun earlier in the week. I took delivery of a new vehicle. Last year, I had my lawnmower service, and unfortunately, the gentleman forgot to put oil in the crankcase, so I blew the motor. And I kind of stumbled around for 4 or 5 months wondering, what am I going to do? What should I do? And then my wife surprised me and said, how about if I buy you a new lawnmower? So then she picked out a John Deere, and I'm like, well, that was number 47 on my bucket list to someday own a piece of John Deere equipment, and now I do. Then yesterday, I went into New York City with her. celebrate our 31st anniversary. Most people don't want to be in a room with me for 31 seconds. This lady's been married to me for 31 years. So we had a good time there. Bought a new table for our kitchen and then roamed the city, walked the High Line, which is something I had never done before. A new repurposing, if you will, of an old elevated subway track. So that was kind of fun. And just spending the day in the city with her was a great time. And then, of course, you have to come back and get to work. It's what we do. So as always, you know, one of the things we're pushing here at Hunter and Chamber Radio is that we're trying to get more Facebook page likes and more, I guess, more awareness of the station, if you will. So what we'd like you to do, since you're currently listening online, more than likely, is have you look up your Facebook page and then type in Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano and then like and follow that page. And if you do that now, that would be great so that you can get updates throughout the week on anything that's affecting business, large and small. And also, any show updates, if I have a guest coming in or something like that, we'll be able to update you there as well. So please go ahead and do that on Facebook at this time. Again, the name of the page is Taking Care of Business and with Jim Gano. You have to put that part. And then, you know, like and follow that page, and we'll be all set. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we started a new portion, a new segment to the program called the Business Quote of the Week, and getting a lot of good feedback. People are really enjoying this. They like to know what the quote is going to be every week. They also are sending in suggestions of their favorite business quote. So we've used a couple of those as well. So I'm glad that people are getting into this segment. And hopefully if you have any quotes that motivate you in business, by all means, send them along to us. So this quote comes to us from a gentleman named Gilbert Arland. And he said that when an archer misses the mark, he turns and looks for the fault within himself. Failure to hit the bullseye is never the fault of the target. To improve your aim, improve yourself. Now, how many people, and it's funny because when I consult with businesses, I always have a slogan called no excuses, no exceptions. But how many people, when something goes wrong, instead of looking at themselves to find out where did they make the mistake, they automatically look at everybody else around them. Well, it was a vendor, it was a supplier, it was a customer, it was the newspaper, it was Obama, it was Trump. It doesn't matter who it is, it's never going to be them until several weeks later when they've run out of excuses. So we have a sign in my shop, and it says, no excuses, no exception, with the word excuses, with the international no symbol, you know, around it. And it's kind of because I want people to own their mistakes. I want them to own why things go wrong. And if they do that, then they, you know, after a while, they know, look, I can't make up any more excuses. I can't BS the boss anymore. I have to own this one. I made this mistake. And all of a sudden, you find that they do a little bit more research. They try a little harder. And next thing you know, the excuses go away. I would rather an employee come to me and say, hey, look, boss, I made this mistake. I need your help in how to fix it than for me to find out about it down the road and all of a sudden, you know, it's crisis time and there's just not enough time to fix a mistake. But very rarely does that happen. A lot of times, you know, people let these things perpetuate and they go on for too long. And then the next thing you know, it's almost too late to fix any of it. Big news in the NASCAR world and big announcement that came out on Tuesday is that NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr., who has won 26 times in his 18-year career on the NASCAR Monster Energy Series circuit, the son of the late Dale Earnhardt Jr., a seven-time champion, the grandson of Ralph Earnhardt, one of the early pioneers in NASCAR racing, well, he's decided that he is going to retire. We'll have more on this in sports later, saying that he wants to leave on his own terms. And there's a whole backlash in the NASCAR community, or what they call NASCAR Nation right now, about, well, this is the end of NASCAR. Junior's leaving, rated or voted by the fans 14 times in a row as the sport's most popular driver. Is any one person in your mind, in your business, in your organization, that important that without them, the organization would have to fold? And I don't think that after a nearly 60-year career that NASCAR has to fold up the tents and go away just because one driver retires. You know, if that were to happen, you would say, well, that should have happened when Richard Petty retired, should have happened when Jeff Gordon retired, Tony Stewart. This is just another driver, and granted, he is the most popular driver. But is any one person going to be the reason why NASCAR survives or dies? And I don't think that Dale Jr. is. I think there's enough young talent to come up. But flip that into your business. Are there, and I believe we had a story on this a few weeks ago, is there any one person in your organization that is so valuable, so key to the success of your organization that without them, you would have to shutter the doors? And if there is, you have a major problem on your hand because, one, they can hold you ransom in that they can just – now they know their value. So if they're a key person in your organization, they know their value, and you'll start hearing hints that, you know, money's tight, they need a raise, they have more expenses, you know, they want more time off, things like that. That's why I believe so strongly in cross-training, because not that I can't afford to have somebody be that valuable, but I like to know that if somebody goes out, they get sick, they get the flu, they take a three-week vacation, the work still gets done. So ask yourself that. Is there anybody in your organization that is so valuable that your business couldn't run without them? Sometimes in production, it could be a machinist who knows how to use a piece of equipment that's 40 years old and nobody else does, and he keeps this machine running. So the question then becomes, you know, does somebody else have to be trained on it or not? We have one of our vendors, Victory Awards, who the machinists are in their 80s, but they produce such beautiful work. And if I'm the owner of Victory Awards, I think it's time to find a young apprentice and get them sitting at the knee of these gentlemen so that they learn the jigs and they learn, you know, the techniques and everything else. Otherwise, it could be a lost art down the road, and then your product line will suffer as well. We're going to take our first break of the day. When we come back, we're going to talk about price wars and five strategies that could pay off for you if you find yourself in one. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano from Crown Trophy in Flemington. Glad you could join us. as we get together at this time every week for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And, you know, this show is for you, so if you ever have any ideas, questions, or things that are happening in your business that you'd like us to discuss, by all means, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Be glad to do some research and get you the answers that you're looking for. Sometimes it's about how to handle difficult employees, how to handle difficult managers, how to be a better leader, how to provide better customer service. But there's one topic that came up that a gentleman sent me, and he says that he often finds himself in the middle of a price war, that he has a competitor nearby who will very often lower their prices, and he goes almost to the ridiculous level in an effort to gain more customers or steal customers away from him. Is there any suggestions we would have from Taking Care of Business to help him win the war, if you will? Now, if you've been around business for any length of time, you've probably seen price wars. You see it a lot at gas stations, you know, when you have competing gas stations just simply across the highway from each other. You may find that, you know, for a penny, you know, instead of gas being $2.37, the station across the street goes to $2.36, and then the other guy the next day changes it to $2.35. I've seen it 100 times, and you don't know how many customers will make the U-turn, go to the opposite side of the highway just to save that penny per gallon. And it's done in just about every industry, every business. Now, you could win a price war with your rival, but you could still lose. So I have 5 ways for you to avoid getting caught up in pricing battles. Now, if your business is in a price war, you may be a little bit worried, seeing how price wars have been blamed for bankruptcies as well as layoffs. Even if things don't go that far with your company, or even if you win a price war, you can still do lasting damage to your business. So first of all, you never want to be the one who starts a price war, because a war is going to be costly not just for your rivals, but also for yourself, says Janine Miklos-Stahl, who's an associate professor at the Simon Business School in Rochester, New York. New customers may suddenly wonder why your offerings are so cheap and decide that you have an inferior product or service. Or you might get customers so accustomed to the low prices that when you do raise them, they'll stay away or they'll feel betrayed for their loyalty. So you want to devote at least as much time thinking about how to escape the price war as about how to win it. She says, still, price wars can't always be avoided. So again, if you find yourself in one, here are 5 strategies to get you out of it. First, do your research to understand why you're even in a price war to begin with. Now, just because a competitor has lowered their prices doesn't necessarily mean that you should drop yours too. Maybe your competitor isn't the scary threat you think it is and is actually making a desperate attempt to raise cash before it crashes and burns. Or maybe you're facing numerous competitors, which is the type of price war that Ami Borenstein is engaged in. My business is in a price war every day, he says. Borenstein owns Transitions to Earth, which sells biodegradable cutlery, utensils, and servingware. We sell a range of products to wholesale and also across several online retailers, he says. The highly competitive nature of these online environments means that we have to constantly monitor pricing in order to stay competitive and maximize profits. But Borenstein doesn't automatically lower prices for all of his products every time he sees that a competitor has lowered theirs. He is constantly doing market research, often using software to help him get a sense of why other competitors are lowering their prices and by how much he should lower his own. Generally, he says, he tends to lower his prices significantly when his company debuts a new product. We have found on all of the major online platforms that it's critical to gain relevance for new products in the internal search engines. This happens by generating sales, Borenstein says. Generating those sales comes from having a good product at an initial compelling price. A low price can help attract attention to new products from potential customers, and that attention can lead to more sales. Number 2, you want to add value to the product or service without lowering the price. Nicole Matthews, who is the owner of Chicks, Inc., a small marketing firm in Houston, says that she has helped quite a few businesses survive price wars this way. One of her clients, Waterless Medi Petty Spa in Atlanta, was going through a price war with other salons. Instead of continually lowering prices to the point of harming the business, Matthews suggested that the owner reach out to a nail polish company that the salon used and request 200 bottles of their newest polish for a marketing promotion. We ran a campaign that gave a bottle of polish to every customer that came into the salon, Matthews says. The company manufacturing the nail polish was evidently happy to get the publicity that would come with giving away free bottles, and the campaign attracted new customers without lowering prices. Now, to win a price war, you must be strategic in your firing power, she says. Creative marketing and advertising will help win price wars all day long. And sure, Matthews would feel that way. Advertising is her business. But still, spending revenue on the occasional marketing campaign is an occasional expenditure that can hopefully help you make more money. Unless you make it clear that it's a temporary sale, lowering prices can be an indefinite, somewhat permanent position you're putting yourself in. Not only is there little likelihood of a return on investment, you're possibly making less money that you can invest in your business. Keep in mind that you can add value to your business in other ways than giving away somebody else's products. You could keep your prices steady but offer more of a product and service, so the value is better. You could even raise your prices a little, but then offer more of the product or service. That way, the value is still strong for the customer, but you don't feel as if you're giving away too much. The third way to win a price war is to advertise if you can't lower your prices more in the price war. Now, Bornstein says that sometimes rival will undercut his price, tempting him to go even lower to the point of having no profit. But instead, he'll spend money on advertising his products. The cost of the ads might get our total profit to $0, he admits, but as the popularity of the item grows, we can reduce or even remove the ads and return to profitability based on not having lowered the price. The fourth way is to find a way to stand out in some other way other than price. Yusuf Hasboon is the marketing communications manager for GotPrint, which is a Los Angeles-based printing company that specializes in helping businesses advertise on everything from business cards to flyers. GotPrint has been in its share of price wars, but he says he found a way to get out of it. GotPrint came up with its own product line called Trifecta Paper, where no one can compete with them on this premium quality paper. Many retailers do this. If you think of department stores you shop at, many carry their own clothing lines that you can't get anywhere else among the name brands they sell. Supermarkets sell food brands that you can buy at other grocery stores, but also have their own private label brands that you can't buy anywhere else. By assuming customers like your product line and they can't get it anywhere else, you can take your business, or at least part of your business, out of the price war. And finally, the fifth way to win a price war is to focus on your brand. Even if your company's message is all about low prices, you presumably want the public to think of your business as an entity that they can trust. Instead of trying to get people to spend as little money as possible on your product, consider building up your business's trustworthiness. Now, in order to do that, try focusing on values that competitors will have a hard time to compete with you on. That could mean offering superior customer service. You could also try improving the quality of the product or service and making it clear to consumers that yours is not the cheapest buy on the market for a reason. You might want to play up your incredible return policy or warranty service, or the fact that your employees are more knowledgeable than the ones at your rivals. Consumers benefit from price wars, and they naturally love to pay less, but they want a good experience too, and to be reassured the money they spend on your business is worth it. If all you focus on is pricing, you have to have the lowest prices in order to compete and acquire new customers, Hasboon says. Low prices become your company's sole value proposition, and that may just be a price that you're not willing to pay. So there were two things in that story that I circled as I was reading them that I wanted to get back to. The first was when it said Bornstein doesn't automatically lower prices for all of his products every time that he sees a competitor lowers theirs. He's constantly doing market research. So the first question that I would ask you is, how many of you out there that find yourself in a price war or find yourself with a lot of competition are actually trying to find out what your competition is doing? Are you scouring their web page? Are you looking for any ads they may place? Are you sending in quote-unquote secret shoppers that will buy a particular product and then have you bring it back to your store so that you can compare it against the quality of workmanship, the quality of materials, things like that, and the price? If you're not doing that, if you're just two competing businesses standing at opposite sides of the road, how do you know what you're competing against? And just because they go in cheaper, this is where we talk about comparing apples to oranges, how do you know that you're comparing like, kind, and quality? So be careful about just jumping into the price war without at least doing some market research. And market research shouldn't just happen when there's a price war. Market research in any business should be going on constantly. What is your competition selling their product for? What is their customer service like? What is their return policy like? And that, you know, The second item that I circled was in the customer service. You could also try improving the quality of your product or service and making it clear to consumers that yours is not the cheapest buy on the market for a reason. This is one thing that I did argue with. It says you may want to play up your incredible return policy or warranty service or the fact that your employees are more knowledgeable than the ones at your rivals. Be careful about trashing your competition because your customers don't necessarily appreciate it. They may actually be pushed towards your competition, not because they feel sorry for them, but because the negativity that you're projecting is something that they don't really want to be associated with. So I don't generally bash the competition. I don't say, well, we have better customer service. I prove it. You know, it's the proof is in the action. So our customer service, and I hold my employees to a very high standard. That bar is very high, and I won't lower it for any reason. I don't care if it's a PETA customer, a pain in the ass, or what. They deserve the best. If they're spending money in your business, they deserve your very best. The best consultation during the sales process, the best help, whether it's loading their car or assistance in making decisions, and finally, obviously, best price and best care after the sale. So that's where we're at with price wars. Let me know if you're getting involved in a price war, if you've ever been in a price war. It'd be interesting to see how that worked out for you and what techniques you might have used to either survive or thrive. I know that one of the things that I hesitate on when we talk about price wars is I don't like when people lower their prices. Just even for sales, because it's telling me already that you don't believe in the value of your merchandise. Sometimes you just have to have culones, if you will, to say we're the best and this is the price that it costs. Now, if someone else comes in, that competitive intelligence, that market research, now we're a trophy store. So if someone comes in and says, I can get this trophy elsewhere, usually I will say, if you feel that you can get a better deal there, then by all means, go ahead. Sometimes the value of the product is not just in the price, but in the service. And we just went through this with a customer, beat me up like crazy over the phone, and in the end, they did come back to me. They priced it out. I know that because my competitors called me because they couldn't get the product, but it was all about the service. But I wasn't going to lower my price just because, you know, this person wanted me to. It's a high-value product, and there's no need for me to just, you know, drop my price in order to make the sale. When they found out they couldn't get it anywhere else, they came back to us. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about 10 weird ways to grow your business that only millionaires know. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I would probably say a missile on the launch pad that we knew for sure had a nuclear weapon on it.
Arizona Senator John McCain appearing on CBS this morning talking about the Trump administration, the briefing on North Korea, and when the United States might have to make a military strike against the North Koreans.
When I say last option, that is when we are convinced that North Korea has that capability to launch a missile that could strike with a nuclear weapon the west coast of the United States. This leader is not rational.
The House could be voting on a revised health care bill as early as tomorrow if GOP leaders can find the votes they need to pass the measure. The conservative House Freedom Caucus is supporting legislation. Now Republican leaders need to get enough moderates on board for passage. Democrats are united in opposition that repeals Obamacare. USA Radio News.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger chicken sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger chicken sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger in a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
care of business. Every way I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com, the voice of business. So glad you could join us. My name is Jim Gano, and I'm the host of this program, as I am every Thursday at this time. And again, glad you could join us to talk a little bit about business here in Flemington, also in Hunterdon County, and on the national scene as well. Going to play a little clip for you, and then we're going to tie it all in to us, the next story, which is called 10 Weird Ways to Grow Your Business That Only Millionaires Know.
I call it try to beat the morning paper home. I ain't very good, but I get a lot of practice, even one once a month ago. Of course, there was a girl involved that wasn't gonna let me rest. But I've always said I can sleep when I'm dead. If there's something going sleep when I'm dead.
Oh, there's my buddy Jason Michael Carroll with the song, and it's my theme song, I Can Sleep When I'm Dead. So how does that tie into our story, 10 Weird Ways to Grow Your Business That Only Millionaires Know? Well, these 10 weird tactics can help grow any kind of a business. And of course, if you know, in my generation, and I'm 55 years old, the aspiration when we were growing up was you wanted to be a millionaire. That was the benchmark. Not a 100,000-aire, not a 200. You had to be a millionaire. And if you knew anyone in your town, they were somebody that everybody looked up to. So we all aspire to be millionaires, and I think that bar may have eclipsed to now be a multimillionaire. But we all wanted that millionaire status. But we're not always sure of the directions and the steps that we need to take to get there. And that's when we seek out millionaires to uncover their secrets and see if we can emulate them in our own lives. What's surprising is in some of the trade secrets that millionaires have for getting where they are today, it's true, however, that there is no specific way to become a millionaire. There isn't an exact formula when it comes to when we wake up or what career path will get us there. Everyone is different, and that's what gives us our biggest opportunity. So here's 10 different ways, weird ways, that some millionaires have grown their business. The first, like Jason Michael Carroll said in that song, sleep when you're dead. So much advice out there continues to push the work-life balance with a good night's sleep of 8 or more hours of sleep. However, some of the world's wealthiest business people subsist on very few hours of sleep because they are up doing deals in all time zones or squeezing in more work, as long as it's smart work, not just busy work. Jack Dorsey was able to build Twitter and Square by spending less time with his pillow and more with his companies. Number two, you want to get on the field rather than staying on the sidelines. Now, some believe that millionaires grow their businesses quietly and they fly under the radar. It's more about being loud and in the middle of the action. Multimillionaires, like our current president, Donald Trump, didn't get where they are by being quiet. Not everyone agrees with what Trump says and does, but at least he speaks his mind and makes things happen. These types of millionaires use brashness and swagger to achieve what they wanted. Now, while you can still get there with a quiet demeanor, you can accelerate the growth by being loud and in the center of the action. The third hint is to spend money to make money. Most millionaires are stereotyped into being penny pinchers that scrimp and save everything and don't ever splurge on anything. According to Zach Westfall, who's the CEO of Stocks to Trade, it's all about putting money where his mouth is. The more that comes in, the more I put back into my business to grow it. Money just sitting around doesn't accomplish anything. It has to be spent on equipment, on talent, and other assets that are going to double and triple what you are capable of making. The fourth tip is only do what you love and leave what you hate. Millionaires that have grown their businesses will tell you they only do what they love. If they end up hating a business idea, they will exit because they know it will never grow without their passion. Richard Branson has noted often that he can only succeed at businesses that he is fascinated by on multiple levels. Otherwise, it's just not worth his investment of time and money. As he stated, "My general attitude in life is to enjoy every minute of every day. I never do anything with a feeling of, oh God, I've got to do this today. Number five, fail miserably. You have to be willing to fail miserably at what you're doing. Now, the only way to achieve real growth is to have one more experience where you failed miserably, because those lessons will redirect how you work from then on. Many millionaires have admitted that they have failed many times over before they were able to settle on a business where all of those lessons helped achieve real growth. A great example is MC Hammer, who is the famed 1990s rapper and performer who went from millionaire to having nothing and then back to reinventing himself as an entrepreneur who is now back to millionaire status. Number six, avoid any debt that doesn't earn you money. Now, while millionaires like to spend what they have, it doesn't mean that they like to unnecessarily spend what someone else has let them borrow unless they can turn that debt into revenue in a short period of time. As Murray Newlands, who's the founder of Chatty People, explained, it's not debt for debt's sake. I don't just take money because someone has offered to lend it to me for my business. I only turn to this type of funding when I have a project or need to expand where it will directly generate some type of revenue or cash flow for the company. By avoiding debt as much as possible, millionaires actually grow their businesses faster because they are not having to take that cash flow and use it to pay back obligations, but can instead apply it to resources that can expand their company. You also want to be modest in your personal life is the seventh tip. Millionaires tend to put their money into their businesses to achieve the most growth instead of into their personal bank accounts to buy the largest house and the fastest car. Like millionaire many times over Warren Buffett, they continue living in a modest home and opt for practical vehicles because it's more about how to expand and develop their companies, especially if these solutions will end up helping other people. By focusing on their businesses over themselves and not worrying about keeping up with what everyone else has, the result is a business that grows more often and faster. The eighth method is to meditate and reflect continually. Millionaires that grow their businesses will tell you that they don't act or react, but instead spend a lot of time meditating and reflecting on what they are doing. They don't tend to make quick decisions, but are inclined to be more methodical in how they approach their businesses. This approach gives them more time to consider all the options before jumping on the first one that appears and risking issues that come with it. They are not concerned that they will miss an opportunity by spending more time on their thinking and planning process. Andrew Cheung, who is the founder of Panda Express and also a millionaire, has regularly talked about the importance of meditation in helping him to remain calm for improved thinking and eloquence. The ninth idea is to read a lot. Now, if you were to take a poll, you might find that people don't read as much as they used to. And this is despite the fact that we are becoming a content-intensive society. By reading, millionaires mean beyond the status updates of their social circles or the headlines on a media website. Again, Warren Buffett has related that he spends many hours each day reading books on various topics and gleaning as much knowledge and information as he can from multiple sources so that he can really know his subject areas. Other millionaires do the same so they can understand market dynamics, economics, theories about consumer behavior, and other topics that could prove useful in creating an effective growth strategy for their business. And the tenth option is to constantly delegate tasks to others for added leverage. Millionaires rely on the concept of leverage to help them grow their business because they understand where they are best served, and it is not always in the middle of handling the daily business operations. Instead, millionaires like to use their contacts, colleagues, and available talent to handle a lot of the business areas while they focus on strategic planning and envisioning how and where the company will grow so that they can hand that blueprint over to their team. Delegating that work means more can get done, accelerating the potential for growth. Numerous millionaires have been quoted on the subject of the value of delegation, including Andrew Carnegie, whose tombstone reads, "Here lies a man who knew how to enlist the service of better men than himself, and who once said, no person will make a great business who wants to do it all himself or get all the credit." Now go out there and make your millions. So 10 weird ways to grow your business, including to sleep when you're dead, get on the field rather than staying on the sidelines, spend money to make money, only do what you love and leave what you hate, fail miserably at what you're doing, and then learn from it, avoid any debt that doesn't earn you money, be modest in your personal life, meditate and reflect continually, read a lot, constantly delegate tasks to others for added leverage. So those are the ways that many millionaires have actually become billionaires, and if that's a goal of yours, by all means, take some of those lessons to heart. It's currently 12:41. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Our next story is about business credit cards and why you should be using them. In business, a lot of times business owners can become afraid of credit cards. Smart debt can be a cash flow safety net for your small business and help build your credit score. There are a number of reasons that small business owners may avoid credit cards, and they're afraid of running up debt, worried about how credit cards may affect their credit scores, or they're just too busy to get around to searching and applying for one. Those are legitimate concerns. But for every reason to avoid credit cards, there are more reasons to use them in your small business. Here are just four of them that small businesses should consider when using business credit cards. The first is to build business credit. Now, according to a recent Mantis survey, 72% of small business owners don't know their business credit card scores or their business credit scores. Chances are those business owners don't know how to build strong business credit either. Fortunately, there's a simple way to get started. Just by using a business credit card. Major credit card issuers report business credit card activity to commercial credit reporting agencies, which in turn can help build credit. To develop strong business credit scores, you'll want to make sure you make payments on time and keep your debt usage low. Keep in mind that most, though not all, business credit card issuers report activity to business credit bureaus and not to the owner's personal credit reports unless they default. Business owners can access their personal business credit card scores free at nav.com. The second reason to use a business credit card is to rack up the rewards. Now, of course, you work hard and you may not see the fruits of your labor for a while. You may forego a regular paycheck so your employees or suppliers can get paid, or you may find yourself putting in long days and nights as you take your business to the next level. But at some point, you're going to need a break, and the rewards from your business credit card may be just what you need. Many entrepreneurs find the rewards from their business credit cards extremely lucrative. Rewards may allow them to pay for a much-needed vacation, holiday gifts for their family, or even allow them to do something nice for employees who are working extra hard to make the business grow. And whether it's frequent flyer miles, free checked luggage and upgrades when you fly, or just cash back, everyone can use more cash. The rewards offered on business credit cards are often superior to what can be earned as a consumer. Credit card companies want small business owners as cardholders, and the reward programs they offer reflect that. Number three, fast cash. An unexpected cost in materials needed to complete a job or a potentially lucrative opportunity with an unexpected upfront cost, whatever the reason, there may be times where you find yourself short of the funds on hand you need to get a job done. If you don't already have access to a line of credit, you may find yourself turning to expensive options such as merchant cash advances or cash flow financing at a cost of 30 to 50% APR and more. Your business credit card, by contrast, probably carries an interest rate of around 20% and can be tapped immediately without having to fill out an application for credit. You'll have flexible repayment terms as well, and you can make minimum payments while you get the job done, and then when the funds are available, repay the balance with no prepayment penalty. Of course, you want to be strategic and careful about taking on debt. Ideally, it should be used to help your business grow and produce returns greater than the cost. But when a situation comes along where you need access to capital quickly, a credit card can be an ideal source for fast funding. And finally, safety. Credit cards are the safest way to pay for purchases in your business. If your business or personal credit or charge card is fraudulently used, you are protected against unauthorized purchases. In addition, if there's a billing error or if merchandise you purchase with a credit card is not delivered as agreed, you can file a dispute with your card issuer. By contrast, no federal law offers protection for fraudulent business debit card use, and there are no chargeback rights with business debit cards either. All in all, a business credit card can be a valuable tool for your small business. Business credit cards are not to be overlooked. They are one of the safest and most flexible ways to pay for business purchases, often offering higher credit limits than personal cards and very lucrative rewards. Either way, you'll want to keep tabs on your personal and business credit scores to make sure they're as strong as possible and that they stay that way. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. When we come back, as we talk about your credit score, we're going to have four things that could be sinking your credit score, and you may not even know it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, and I'm the host of the program, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington as we gear up for busy season once again. Time for the sports teams and schools to start handing out their awards and doing a lot of corporate work. Organizations, corporations, nonprofits that are recognizing employees and volunteers for their service. Glad to be expanding into that marketplace as well. So if you ever need anything to help recognize your staff or volunteers, by all means, give us a call at Crown Trophy of Flemington. Well, there could be four things that are sinking your credit score, and you may not even know it. Now, business credit reports are more likely to have errors than personal credit reports, but you can't fix the errors if you don't know about them. A good business credit score can open many doors, but if you don't know the factors affecting your scores, it's easy to miss out on qualifying for the best rates on financing, getting better trade terms with your vendors, and other opportunities available to those with great scores. Now, although there are similarities between personal and business credit, there are a number of factors that show up on your business credit reports that you won't see on your personal credit, and the magnitude to which individual factors affect your score could be different. So here are four factors that could be affecting your scores, and you might not even know it yet. The first is errors. Unfortunately for business owners, business credit reports tend to have more errors than personal reports do. In fact, a Wall Street Journal survey from 2013 showed that 25% of small business owners who checked their business credit reports found credit-lowering errors. Many times, these mistakes are small changes that need to be made, like an incorrect industry classification code or out-of-date sales figures, but the only way to know that is to look. So check your business credit reports, look at your business information, and then drill down into who is reporting both your payment information and any derogatory comments to ensure that they're reporting for the right company. The second is simply paying on time. Now, when it comes to personal credit scores, paying on time is key to keeping your score high. In fact, it's the number one factor influencing your score. And like personal credit, payment history is also the main factor influencing your business credit scores. Instead of reporting payment activity in 30-day increments, bureaus often use a metric called Days Beyond Terms, or DBT. This means that if you are just 1 or 2 days late, a payment can be reported as late, beyond terms, and a pattern of those can bring down your score. Here's the kicker. Unlike with your personal credit, paying early can help boost your credit scores. And depending on the scoring model being used, paying on time might only get you an 80 out of 100. In the case of the D&B Paydex score, for example, consistently paying 30 days early is the only way to land a 100 out of 100. Payment history accounts for 50% to 100% of your business credit score, so you need to keep this factor in check. Also, your industry code. Your SIC or NAICS code classifies your business by industry and is a component of your business credit reports. Although it doesn't affect all business credit scores, if you're classified incorrectly in a high-risk industry, your business may be considered higher risk simply by virtue of that classification. If it's wrong, you're going to want to fix it. If a lender, vendor, or supplier looks into your business credit reports and sees that your SIC code doesn't match the business's operations, that could be a red flag and a reason not to do business with you. With a free NAV account, you can see what SIC code is associated with your business on your business credit summary reports from Dun & Bradstreet and Experian, as well as a drill down of how SIC codes affect your scores. And the fourth option that could affect your credit rating on the business side is that your personal credit score. Now, not all business credit scores take into account your personal credit, but some do. For example, the Experian IntelliScore Plus and the FICO SBSS score may use the primary business owner's personal credit as a factor influencing the respective score. Regardless of whether your personal credit scores are part of the calculation used to create a score for your business, you'll want to keep an eye on your personal credit scores. Most lenders and almost all credit card providers are going to consider your personal credit score before extending financing or a credit line for your business. Also, liens on the business can affect your credit. If you have financed equipment, there is a chance that the lender has placed a UCC lien on your business without your knowledge. Lenders will not look favorably on loan approvals if there are liens on your business, and many don't automatically remove them without the lease or loan is paid off, so you may have to request that. When it comes to business credit reports and scores, what you don't know could hurt you. Lenders, vendors, and suppliers can look up your business credit reports anytime without your permission, and because they are not required to tell you why they've decided not to do business with you, you may never know that your business credit scores played a role in the decision until you check your reports. So there was one part of that story that I wanted to go back to, and that is the UCC lien. I didn't know about this, but we had two liens on our business from two finance companies for some equipment that we had purchased. And then when we went to do some refinancing of a loan, initially they came back and said, what are these liens for? And I'm like, what are we talking about? And then when they sent me the information, I had to go back to the lender and say, did you put a lien on my business? They said, yeah, it's standard operating procedure. I was like, well, I need to know that. And they don't have any obligation to tell you. It's more for their protection. Should you default or something like that or go out of business, then they would have one of the first claims to be paid. And then when we satisfied those, it took about 6 weeks to get letters to the bank so that, you know, they would say, okay, now there's no liens. We can move forward with this loan. But what a scary time at that point, because we had no clue that this was even out there. When you're talking about business finance, there's a couple of fees to watch out for and how you should be able to avoid them. And if you don't understand all the extra charges added to your small business loan, you could end up paying a lot more than you bargained for. And small business owners looking for a loan need to be careful. Business loans aren't like mortgages and auto loans where costs are displayed as an annual percentage rate or the total cost of your loan. There's a couple different fees that go factor into a business loan that you need to be aware of. The first is an origination fee. An origination fee is a percentage of your loan amount that a lender charges to cover upfront fees and other costs associated with originating your loan. They are fairly common and often unavoidable, and the money comes straight out of your loan amount, with typical fees ranging anywhere from 1% to 6% of the total loan amount. So watch out for application fees designed to cover the cost of processing your application and any underwriting fees assessed to cover the labor and money spent underwriting your loan. There's also prepayment penalties. Now, it's common for lenders to charge a late payment fee if your loan payments are coming in multiple days late after the due date, but some lenders will also charge if you pay early. A prepayment penalty comes in many forms. Some lenders will simply make the borrower repay all of the remaining interest through the entire original term of the loan, even though it was paid off sooner. Others will charge a penalty in the form of a percentage of the remaining interest, and others may even charge a flat fee in addition to making you pay back the remainder of the interest. There's also third-party fees. Depending on the purpose of your loan, commercial real estate, for example, you may find fees from third parties, such as appraisers and notaries, added to your business loan. Sometimes these fees will be grouped in with what's called the closing costs of your loan. In addition to third-party fees, closing costs can include things like mortgage or loan packaging fees, but you may be able to negotiate some of these. There's also maintenance fees. Now, these are common with lines of credit, but they can end up in other business financing products too. Many banks will charge an account maintenance fee if you let your line of credit sit dormant. Other providers will charge a flat fee for a month for account maintenance, regardless of whether you use the account or not. Some may offer to waive the fee if you withdraw a certain amount per month. And finally, there's check processing fees. Small business lenders often want to encourage businesses to allow the lender to connect to their business bank account to have loan payments automatically deducted. Some even require this. This can present itself in the form of a fee charged for the hassle of processing check payments. If you prefer to pay by check, make sure to ask your lender what, if any, payment processing fees exist. Of course, lenders are going to look at a number of factors when deciding what rates and fees to associate with your offer, including your business bank account information, tax returns, business plan, and your credit. How can you avoid outrageous business loan fees? Make sure your personal and business credit is in order before applying for any financing. Your credit reports are a major factor determining your loan eligibility. And good business credit scores can lower the APRs you're offered on term sheets. You can check your business and credit, personal credit profiles and have access to free tools to build your credit for free on NAV, NAV.com. And although some business loan fees are non-negotiable, some are, so don't forget that lenders want your business, and with the myriad of options available to small business owners, they know you can likely go somewhere else for a financing product that suits your needs. Don't be afraid to question lenders and get your credit in order first for even more leverage when it comes to negotiating. In sports, in the NFL, it's draft day 2017, with teams drafting college talent over the course of the next 3 days, and the Cleveland Browns have the number one pick. The NBA playoffs are continuing, still too many teams to narrow that thing down. In the NHL playoffs, in the Eastern Division, second round, the Rangers play Ottawa in the second round starting tonight, and Pittsburgh plays Washington. In the Western Division, Nashville is playing St. Louis, and Edmonton plays Anaheim. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Orioles, Tigers, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Rockies lead their divisions. And in a surprising move, it is the end of April, and the Philadelphia Phillies have not been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet. In NASCAR news, as mentioned earlier, a shocking announcement this week from Dale Earnhardt Jr. that he will retire at the end of the season, saying he wanted to leave the sport on his own terms. Earnhardt Jr. missed most of the 2016 season with concussion-like symptoms after a hard crash at Michigan. Jimmy Johnson won last weekend's rain-delayed Food City 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway. The teams are back in action this weekend at Richmond International Speedway for the Toyota Owners 400, starting at 2 p.m. Sunday. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Democrat Senator Ed Markey says he wants to see the Chinese government stepping up more to push back on North Korea. Meanwhile, fellow Democratic Senator Chris Coons says he's impressed that the Trump administration is watching the threat so closely.
Time and options running out for an Arkansas death row inmate as the state Supreme Court yesterday refused to issue a stay that could have spared Kenneth Williams the death penalty. Williams is set to be executed tonight as Arkansas is still rushing to carry out a number of executions before its lethal injection drugs expire at the end of this month. And the nation's weather is expected to serve up a little bit of everything as April is drawing to a close. The Rockies could see a big snowstorm, while parts of the central U.S. likely to get socked with severe thunderstorms, heavy rains, and flooding in the next few days. And people in the mid-Atlantic and northeast could see some record heat today. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, Hunter.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I would probably say a missile on the launch pad that we knew for sure had a nuclear weapon on it.
Arizona Senator John McCain appearing on CBS this morning talking about the Trump administration, the briefing on North Korea, and when the United States might have to make a military strike against the North Koreans.
When I say last option, that is when we are convinced that North Korea has that capability to launch a missile that could